content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the July-August 2019 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin today with the new president's message. Let all our lights brighten the darkness. Greetings, Lions. It is my great pleasure to address the Lion community for the first time as your international president. As we enter a new Lion year, I have high hopes for us. My focus during my presidency is on fostering diversity in service. After all, there are more than 1.4 million Lions around the world, and each is unique, and everyone matters. This means that we have to do more than just recognize what makes us different. We have to embrace it. There is a path I walk in my hometown of Busan, South Korea. I woke up early, before sunrise, and walk. It clears my head and it's good for my spirit. I particularly enjoy watching the change from darkness to light. When I begin the day, I am in the dark. As I walk, my mind clears and the sky brightens. Over the course of that walk, how I see the world is literally transformed. It's always interesting to see something from another vantage point, whether it's in a new light or for someone else's perspective. Often you see things you couldn't see before. Let your fellow Lions and your community be the sun. Let them shine light on what you may not have seen. You may not agree with how they see things, but only by looking at things clearly in the light of day can we hope to find common ground. And perhaps among all those points of view, you'll be able to see solutions to issues your community faces that you hadn't been able to see before. I truly believe that by embracing diversity, we will grow as Lions and as people. Here's to the beginning of a new year of serving through diversity. Sincerely, Jung Jul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. Next, we'll move over to our In the News department, beginning with Lion Magazine reducing print issues. In April, the International Board of Directors voted to require all official editions of Lion Magazine to print at least 2 issues per year beginning in July 2020, which means that Lion Magazines around the world will soon be printing fewer issues. We will print 4 issues of this edition during the 2019-2020 Lion year and 2 issues beginning in July 2020. The board considered that the original intent of Lion Magazine, which began publishing in 1918, was to provide timely updates to members. Today, the board believes digital communication channels such as email, the lionsclubs.org website, the international blog, social media, and My Lion are better equipped to provide those updates. Lion Magazine is committed to telling the life-changing stories of Lions and will continue to do so in both print and digital formats. Looking ahead, in September, International Literacy Day is September 8th. International Day of Peace is September 21st. In October, Vision Awareness Month is happening. World Sight Day is on October 10th. United Nations Day is on October 24th. For November, Diabetes Awareness Month is in November, as well as World Kindness Day on November 13th and World Diabetes Day on November 14th. And how one essay inspired Texas Club to quintuple scholarship funds. The original idea was the Zapata Lions Club in Zapata, Texas, would fund 3 college scholarships worth $1,000 to each of the winners of an essay contest for area Leos. Then they read the essays. The Zapata Lions were so moved by valedictorian Gerardo Gonzalez's essay about life as an immigrant and as a DACA student, fleeing violence in his home country and coming to the United States when he was just 5 years old, only to watch his parents struggle to find work, that they knew they needed to do more for him and the other deserving students. Club president Aurelio Villarreal turned to the community. In total, the club raised $4,500 themselves and received another $9,000 in matching donations from universities, $3,500 from the 50-year Lion Member Guadalupe and Lilia Foundation, and $2,000 from private donors. In total, they awarded $19,000 in scholarships. To me, this puts life in perspective, says Villarreal. If somebody asks me why I'm a Lion, I say it's because I believe we can make a difference. Our original goal was to give $3,000. Instead, we gave out $19,000. I guess we did make a difference. Next, we have an article titled, Getting to Know the GAT, Making It Easier to Make a Big Impact. The Global Action Team, also known as GAT, connects Lions around the world. What is the GAT? In the world of Lions, there are three letters with the ability to significantly enhance your club, your and your club's service impact, GAT, or Global Action Team. By now, you may have heard of the GAT, but maybe don't fully understand exactly what it does or how it can make an impact on service outcomes. That's okay. Simply put, the GAT is a global support team. It offers clubs and districts direct access to resources and tools from Lions International Headquarters, so Lions can benefit from a wider network and just maybe accomplish a project that they thought was out of reach. You already know them. Each club president acts as the GAT chairperson for their club, and each district governor acts as the GAT district chairperson. Do you have a big idea? Want to do something you aren't sure your club can accomplish alone? Talk to your GAT chairperson, your club president, and find out what resources LCI has to help. Take a local project and turn it national. The power of the GAT is in the actions of many Lions working together. Through teamwork, big ideas can be brought to life, even if the club and its resources are small. In Kenya, when the Ministry of Health made diabetes a national focus, GAT leaders saw an opportunity to expand the work Kenyan clubs were already doing to fight diabetes. Lions leveraged professional expertise and partnerships with healthcare providers, Lion hospitals, and diabetes centers to provide comprehensive screenings, follow-up care, and educational materials and resources to communities throughout Kenya. With the help of the GAT, what began as Lions seizing an opportunity to meet community needs by providing diabetes education and care grew into a movement, serving nearly 500,000 people. Activate the Global Lion Network. In Malaysia, Jaden, a young boy with a brain tumor, was looking at a grim prognosis. His doctors in Malaysia, unable to provide the necessary sophisticated medical procedures needed to cure him, had almost given up hope after his initial treatments. But then his parents heard about the Lions. GAT leaders from multiple countries arranged to meet at the International Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, to discuss how they could activate the Global Lion Network to help Jaden get treatment. Less than a year since the initial meeting at the convention, Jaden has been sent home cancer-free. Through the network that is the GAT, Lions from three nations came together to help get Jaden the treatment he so desperately needed to have a chance at life. This is a great example of how the GAT activated the Global Lion to Lion Network, says Global Action Team Chairperson, past International President Khajiit Habanananda. Lions were able to reach across borders in service. Reach out. Think you could use the help of the GAT? Find out more at lionsclubs.org/en/GAT. As a Lion, you have more power than you think. Next, from one of our feature articles, A Duty to Give Back. International President Dr. Jung Yul Choi reveals a life that shaped him to serve. When International President Dr. Jung Yul Choi was a young businessman, he helped a milk boy who had spilled his day's deliveries. The boy asked how he would pay Dr. Choi back. You don't need to pay me back directly, Dr. Choi told him. You work hard, make more money, and then when you encounter someone in a crisis, you pay him back, not me. People often talk of the day they joined Lions and the moment when they became a Lion. It's recognizing the difference between being a member and belonging. The difference between something you do and someone you are. That is my moment, says Dr. Choi. I started thinking, serving. It's so important. It makes me so happy. Dr. Choi wasn't always in a position to make a difference the way he did for that young boy. He grew up in the port city of Busan in the Republic of Korea. His father passed away before he was 1 year old, and his mother struggled to support him and his three sisters. World War II was raging, and Korea was occupied by Japan. When World War II ended, the Korean War followed quickly on its heels. It was difficult, says Dr. Choi. We were hungry. As a country, we were suffering. His mother instilled in him the belief that if he worked harder than ordinary people, he could become successful. He could become extraordinary. On his way to becoming extraordinary, a young Dr. Choi was walking across campus when he passed a girl he had never seen before. At first, I just passed her by, he says. But then I backed up. I thought, I really like her. So I said, hey. She agreed to a cup of coffee, and it was after that first date that Dr. Choi told her he would marry her. She wasn't so sure. She thinks I'm a crazy man, he says. But 5 years later, they married. After decades of marriage, their bond is still strong. She's the most beautiful girl still today, he says. As a young man, Dr. Choi made it his goal to become financially successful so his family wouldn't struggle again. He studied horticulture in college, but his real break came from the proficiency he'd gained from English. At that time, the U.S. military had 40,000 troops in Korea, says Dr. Choi, so they needed interpreters. When he retired from the Army, his English skills made him an attractive candidate for many international companies. After just a year and a half at an export company, he decided to start his own business. It was in 1973, and at the time, Busan was exporting 85% of the world's athletic shoes. Dr. Choi became one of the main exporters. And after a time, he achieved his goal of financial success. What would he do for the rest of his life? Dr. Choi spent many years serving in various capacities. He was the vice president of his college alumni association and spent more than 12 years as a director of the Sports Association Bureau, which oversees amateur sports in Korea. Dr. Choi and his wife, Seong Bok Yang, are avid golfers. Though it wasn't customary for women in Korea to play at the time, Dr. Choi enjoyed it so much he bought his wife a set of clubs for her 40th birthday. She soon became much better than him. She beats me, so she's good, says Dr. Choi. But eventually, everything took a back seat to the Lions. Dr. Choi remembers his club helping an orphanage many years ago. They visited the small, isolated island where it was located and spoke with the people and the children running the facility. They saw that they were in need of sporting equipment and other items to give the children ways to learn, to play, and grow. The club organized a large equipment and toy drive. We asked our members to bring the things their children or grandchildren no longer played with. We told them soccer ball, volleyball, guitar, whatever they were not using, bring it. The children at the orphanage were very happy with the gifts, and the Busan Club began holding monthly meetings in the newly stocked library. The Lions played soccer with the children. Their wives made chicken ginseng soup. I remember it was a very meaningful service project for me, says Dr. Choi. When Korea was struggling as a nation, Dr. Choi remembers receiving aid packages of corn and milk powders from the U.S. and other countries. We were served when we were so hungry, he says. Now it's our turn to give back. Today, his work with Lions is his life. I don't have a religion, he says. Being a Lion is My Religion. Our next feature article is entitled Finding Home. It was under a banyan tree that it all began. In the town where Rajan Thapa grew up in eastern Nepal, there was no football field, no tennis court, no swimming pool, just the banyan tree. In the evening, after they were done helping their parents in the rice paddies and with the water buffalo and cows, the children would gather under the tree to tell stories. The story Thapa told was different. Unlike many of the other children in his town, he went to school. There, he wore a uniform and socks and shoes and met children from other areas. At school, he learned that there was more to the world than just the things he knew at home, where he helped his parents and his five siblings on the family farm. "That enlightened me," says Thapa, Centennial District Governor of 4C3 in the California Bay Area. "I didn't want to keep that in me only, so I started sharing." First, he shared it with the other children. Then he told their parents. He explained that he still helped his parents in the field. School didn't start until 10 in the morning, so there was plenty of time for the children to care for the livestock and tend to the fields before they went to study. No one instructed Thapa to do this, not a teacher or a parent. It was just something he felt compelled to do. "I wanted a bright future along with the other children," says Thapa, who is now 55. "And if they only work in the field, the future wouldn't be bright." His community service and academic success earned him a scholarship at a Catholic high school in Darjeeling, India. He traveled by bus for 12 hours to reach the boarding school. At school, he was served bulgur and yellow porridge donated by Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. Every once in a while, Mother Teresa could be seen in her blue and white sari being driven around the school grounds in a jeep. One day, she called Thapa over. She asked his name, how he liked school, and what he wanted to do in the future. He did not say he wanted to be a doctor or an engineer. Instead, he told her he wanted to work for the community, because that is where he came from. Decades later, sitting in one of the five Bay Area Indian and Nepalese restaurants Thapa owns, he places his hand on his chest and says her kindness has stayed with him. She's in the heart. A small man who wears a sapphire ring on his left hand and a cat's eye ring on his right, an astrologer told him they would bring success, Thapa may just be the future of Lions. When he moved to the U.S. in 2003, there was one Nepalese Lions Club in the U.S. Today, there are seven in his district and more than 19 around the country, including New York, Connecticut, and Texas. Thapa was the first U.S. district governor from the Nepalese diaspora and is currently a specialty club coordinator. At a time when Lions membership in the U.S. is declining, incoming international president Dr. Jung Yul Choi believes specialty clubs like the Nepalese clubs offer an opportunity for growth. "We serve through diversity," said Dr. Choi during a 2018 interview at Lions headquarters. He noted that many recent immigrants do not speak the language of their new country when they arrive, yet they need community more than ever. So have them form their own club and then let them speak their own language so we can give them a chance to serve and join our association, he said. That is exactly what Thapa has done with the Nepalese diaspora. It's a natural fit. In Nepal, former Prime Minister Matrika Prasad Koirala founded the first Lions Club in 1971. Less than half a century later, there are more than 800 Nepalese clubs. Thapa belonged to one of them, as the man sitting beside him, Manil Shrestha. In Nepal, Shrestha was a president of a club. His brother, father, and mother-in-law are all past presidents of Lions Clubs in Nepal. Today, Shrestha is a member of the first Nepalese specialty club Thapa founded in the U.S. Berkeley Annapurna and a zone chair for District 4C3. "Our ancestors grew up giving back," explains Shrestha, who is 46 years old. If you ask a Nepalese immigrant what their father, uncle, or other relative did, They will likely say that their relative built a road or a well or a school, says Shrestha. For Thapa, it was a school. After completing university, he returned to his village to teach in the primary school. Then he started his own co-ed secondary school. Bappa made a point of encouraging families to send their daughters to his school, an uncommon occurrence at the time. I started to become more and more ambitious, he says, not to make money, but to make an impact. Unfortunately, the Nepalese civil war or Maoist insurgency interrupted his plans. The conflict lasted from 1996 to 2006 and left around 13,000 people dead and 200,000 people displaced. Thapa remembers a time of torture, terror, and kidnapping. When he came to the U.S. in 2006, he had two shirts, two pants, and two children, and one wife. He had no idea what he would do the next morning. Yet, within 2 years, he had bought his first restaurant. The following year, he founded the Berkeley Annapurna Lions Club, a specialty Nepalese club. Community service was in the vein, and he saw Nepalese Lions clubs as a way for the Nepalese to assimilate. We should say hello to our American friends. We should say we are here. We should say we want to collaborate. We want to partner in the community where we are living now. Having a specialty culture club is a way to do this. Although the Nepalese diaspora are familiar with Lions, language barriers, inferiority complexes, and cultural shock means it is difficult for them to join existing clubs in the U.S., says Thapa. In their own clubs, they're given the opportunity to hold leadership roles through which they begin to interact with the greater Lions organization, thereby becoming more comfortable in their English language skills and in American culture. The confidence they gain means now, instead of asking Thapa for a job in one of his restaurants, they're working in banking, in medicine, and in security. The horizon has opened, he says. Nirmal Fuyal's story mirrors Thapa's words. In Nepal, Fuyal worked in a social development, but when he came to the U.S. in 2009, he did not consider Lions until a Nepalese neighbor recruited him for a Nepalese club. As a Lion, he was recognized for helping to coordinate a successful campaign, which encouraged me to think more about Lions, he says. Now, the 47-year-old is a zone chair for District 4C3 and has gone from working in a gas station to working as a paralegal. He is also president of the new Nepalese club, Lions Club of Berkeley Laliguruns. The club organized a workshop on how to be an MC and is supporting the filming of a Nepalese documentary about child brides. Further southeast in Mountain View on a Sunday this January, families fill a building. Children, barely able to walk, toddle to a front room while their older siblings scramble to another room, notebooks, pens, and pencils in hand. Prashant Thapa sits at a table with other middle school-aged children. The 10-year-old boy turns to the back of his notebook where he has written the Nepali alphabet. Then he flips to the front of his notebook, where he is trying to write his name in Nepali. I just need to find the last letter, he says. Down the hall in another room, Sabitri Joshi stands in front of a class of younger children sounding out letters in the Nepali alphabet. Joshi's eldest daughter, Shreya, who is 8, is the reason Joshi is teaching here at the Nepali Language School, which is held every other Sunday afternoon. At home, Joshi speaks Nepali. But when Shreya started school, the girl told her mother she didn't need to learn Nepali because they didn't use it at school. Joshi considered teaching other children in her garage so Shreya would be amongst her peers. Then she heard about the Sunday school. In addition to the language, children also learn Nepalese dances and songs. Shreya recently performed one of the Nepalese songs at her regular school, something she would never have done before, says her mother. Once we come here and start seeing so many other peers like her, I think they build their confidence and they feel better about their Nepalese culture, says Joshi. The school is a vision of Narayan Kanal, second vice president of Sunnyvale Everest Lions Club. Kanal, who is 38 years old, needed a place for the school. Hope Services, an organization that serves the developmentally disabled, agreed to let Lions use their building free of charge. That was how Sunnyvale Everest Lions Club was founded in 2016. So it's a double benefit, says Kunal. We can bring these kids, they can learn the Nepalese language, and at the same time, we also help the community. And I'm going to have to abbreviate that article for time, but you can read the whole thing at www.lionsclubs.org. And we'll wrap it up today with club news, beginning in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, Boy Scout John E. Yalecto made wooden eyeglass collection boxes for the Avon Grove Lions as his Eagle Scout project. The boxes will be placed in various locations in the Avondale-West Grove area to collect used glasses. In Michigan, the Almont Lions Club sponsored two Almont girls in Lions contests. Jenny Heiberger's entry in the essay contest and Megan Larkin's entry in the peace poster contest won at club, district, and state level, and both were scheduled to compete in Milan. The Petaluma Host Lions Club in California held its 27th annual Food, Wine, and Craft Beer Festival, benefiting the area's four high school graduation celebrations. This year's event raised more than $17,000 that was split between the schools for the Sonoma County Project Grad organization. Project Grad was founded in 1987 as a response to increased drug and alcohol use among students on graduation night. The Culpeper Midday Lions in Virginia donated more than $9,000 to the community in the last half of 2018. The Culpeper Food Closet received $1,800, and Lions raised more than $9,000 for their site program, as well as more than $5,000 for their youth program. This is in addition to the more than $1,800 given to Team Jordan, a suicide prevention coalition. Over 7 years, the Early Bird Lions of Washington have given away 12,000 saplings on Earth Day. The Summerside Lions on Prince Edward Island in Canada hosted a pancake breakfast with proceeds going to the Prince County Chapter for the Blind to help fund their summer games program. And finally, in conjunction with the Inland Empire United Way, the members of the Cucamonga District Host Lions from California, along with the Boy Scouts and volunteers, put together 500 Easter baskets for low-income and disadvantaged children. Lion Vivian Schiffman, better known as the Basket Queen, is shooting for 1,000 baskets next year. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but you can read more at www.lionsclubs.org. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.